Joshua chapter number 9 tonight. And I want to take a few moments tonight. We talked about to get back up last Sunday morning. And then today we talked about that man's in trouble. The man they found there in hell. He had no hope. He had no peace. He had nothing. Burning in hell. Tonight I want to go back to Joshua chapter number 9 and I want to talk to you about don't be misled. Please, don't be misled. Don't be misled. If you want to know why you're using the King James Bible, get with me. I'd love to sit down with you. Don't be misled. Don't switch translations in the middle of the stream. Don't be misled. Please, as your pastor, stick with the stuff. Stick with it. I told a man the other day, if I quit using the King James Bible, I got to go dig up Eldred Sproul. I got to go dig up Steve Sproul. I got to go. There's a bunch of men that signed my ordination papers. I'm going to have to go dig it back up and tell them I've changed books. I got to go to Harold Cantrell and tell them I'm not using that book anymore. I got to go to Donald Cole. I got to go to Kevin McDaniel. I got to go to David Barnes, the one that sat in with me at ordination council when I was ordained. These men sat in on the ordination council. And they point blank asked me a question, what book will you be using? If I'm lying, y'all speak up. So what y'all asked me, what book will you be using? I said, I'll be using the King James Bible. They said, that's all we use at Union Chapel Baptist Church. And I said, well, that's all I use. Don't be misled. Infiltration. You can be infiltrated before you know it. People can come in amongst you before you know it. When you get caught up in what all's going on and people just come in amongst you and they'll try to change you and try to change what you believe. Before you know it, they'll try to change the virgin birth. Before you know it, they'll try to change everything that you believe. Folks, I'm telling you, if it's in this book, you stand on it. Amen? Don't be misled. Joshua chapter number 9. If you have a copy of God's Word, I do ask you to stand. Joshua chapter number 9. I want to begin reading in verse number 1 through 7. And I want to show you how not to be misled and how we do get misled. Joshua chapter number 9 and verse number 1 in the Bible says, And it came to pass when all the kings which were on this side of the Jordan, in the hills and in the valleys and all the coast of the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hittites and the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites heard thereof, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. And when the inhabitants of the Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work willingly and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, took old sacks upon their asses, wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, old shoes, clout upon their feet, old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dried and moldy. And they went to Joshua and to the camp of Gilgal and said unto him and to the men of Israel, We become from a far country. Now therefore make you a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, Peradventure ye dwell among us. And how shall we make a league with you, our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence? Lord, I don't want to make a league with nobody but you, Father. Father, I don't want to make an oath with anybody but you, Father. Lord, I want to make an oath with your word. I want to make an oath with you. I want to make an oath in the blood of Jesus Christ tonight, Father. Lord, I want to be yours tonight. I don't want to be caught off guard when the enemy walks in amongst us, Father. Lord, I pray tonight that you guard my throat, guard my thoughts. I do thank you for a church that's on fire tonight. I thank you that I don't pastor a dead church tonight. Lord God, I know there's many of them, but I thank you that you chose to put me over here in the middle of nowhere where people love you. And Father God, that we can lift up the name of Jesus. Lord, we're not here for a show. We're here for the Spirit of the Holy One tonight. Father God, we're not here to entertain, but we are here to inform and let people know that there is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. Father, we love you, we praise you, we glorify you. Bless the rest of this night in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people said, Amen. You may be seated tonight. Tonight as we come, don't be misled. There's a lot of things that are misleading people in the world that we live in. But tonight as we come in Joshua chapter number 9, Joshua and the children of Israel have defeated Ai. I want to give you a little layout before we get into it. They have defeated Ai, but another battle is ahead. They've done defeated Jericho. They've done defeated Ai. And now another battle is up ahead. Is that not a believer's life? Is that not how our life is? You get through one battle and here comes another. You get one fire put out and there's another one coming. We come out of one battle and another arises. As you grow, get this tonight, as you grow in your Christian walk, spiritual battles get more intense. The more you grow, the closer you get with Christ, our spiritual battle becomes more intense. Temptations become more severe. And Satan will not give up because you, as a child of God tonight, you are a threat to Satan tonight. He doesn't like you. He has nothing for you. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants you nowhere in the picture. But as your pastor tonight, I don't want you to be misled. And you say, preacher, how can I be misled? How can I get off course? How can I get misled? I want to give you that tonight in three ways that you can be misled tonight. Number one, we're misled by deception in verse number 3, if you'll look at your Bible. We're misled by deception. We get deceived very easily. It may be by a friend. It may be by a family. It may be by somebody that got high prestige that walks into this building. But if you're not careful, you'll be deceived. In verse number 3, I want you to know, it says, and when the inhabitants of Gibeon, the Gibeonites, and when they heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and unto Ai, they automatically wanted to come on their side. They didn't want to help them. They didn't want to do nothing but deceive them. The enemy knew they couldn't defeat them, so they deceived them. The Gibeonites lied, said they were ambassadors from a far country. They took old sacks, old shoes, old clothes to make it look like they had traveled a long way. They used deception. Does that not sound like Satan tonight? He'll try to deceive you. 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 8, the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. I say to you tonight that a roaring lion is easy to see. When a lion roars at you, it is easy to see. You'll know when that lion is roaring. You'll know when he sticks his head up. You know when Satan is trying to have his way in your life. You know when he is breathing down your neck. They say the way to get away from a lion that's wanting to attack their prey is this right here. A lion doesn't like water. They don't like getting out in deep water. So when something is being chased by a lion, the first thing they'll do, they'll go out into the deepest water they can get into to be saved and not to be ate up tonight. Can I say to you, when you get in this living word and this water of life and you get deeper into the water, I want you to know tonight that old Satan has got to flee. You say, preacher, how does he deceive us? Number one, as a roaring lion. Number two, he is subtle in what he does. If he can't get you as a roaring lion, he'll come in you any way he can. He'll try to take over your life. In Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 1, the Bible says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, he didn't come as a roaring lion to the woman. He slithered his way in there into every local body church. Oh, Satan's trying to slither his way in. If he can't come in as a roaring lion, he'll try to slither his way in. Friends, tonight, let me tell you this. Don't you be misled by who comes in amongst you tonight. He said, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? A subtle serpent is hard to spot. You don't believe that? A snake is hard to spot. They're hard to find. A lion is big. You can see a lion. But a snake, you let that thing wander around, it won't be long. It'll get in amongst you and you'll never be able to find it. At the house where me and Brandy lives, she's got some tall, big old, some kind of ears that grows by the house, them big old green plants. And she told me, she said, I seen a snake in there. I seen a snake. I said, did you really see a snake? She said, yeah, I seen a snake. I went and got my 20-gauge shotgun, the old long one. You know what I'm talking about. She said, what are you going to do with that thing? I said, he's a dead snake. She said, are you going to shoot at the house? I said, I'd rather have a house with a hole in it than that snake around here. You said, what'd you do, preacher? Son, I sat there and waited on him, Brother Tony. I started moving it back and forth. And when I seen his head, I didn't want a pistol. I didn't want to get that close. I wanted to shoot him from a long ways away. I blew his head off, shot the brick there on the wall. He said, are you that scared of a snake? I'm not that scared, but I know what he stands for. I know he's not wanting nothing but trouble. He wants nothing but evil. And tonight, let me tell you, don't you get deceived by Satan himself. He says tonight, and not only in 1 Peter 5:8, he's like a roaring lion. Not only in Genesis 3:1, he is a subtle serpent, hard to spot. But in 2 Corinthians 11:14 and 15, turn with me there tonight. He is the angel of light. He will transform himself right before you. 2 Corinthians tonight, chapter number 11, I want to show you this. If he can't get you like a roaring lion, and he can't get you like a snake, he'll transform himself into light and make you think that he is a beautiful creature. You listen to me tonight. Don't you get tricked up with Satan. Can I get an amen? He says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse number 14, and no marvel. He said, don't you marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Friends, tonight, if he can't get you like a roaring lion and he can't get you like a snake, he'll come to you like a light. He'll come to you thinking he's the best thing. He'll come to you thinking that he is the light of the world. Friends, tonight, listen, Satan can paint anything up. He can make anything look good, but don't you fall for his tricks tonight, and don't you be deceived, because he said therefore he'll transform himself into an angel of light, and therefore it is no great thing if his ministers, listen to this, if his ministers, the men that are preaching the gospel, is not preaching the truth. He said, I'm listening to this tonight. You'll get deceived if you're not careful. Therefore, it's no great thing if the ministers also be transformed as this minister of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. He's an angel of light, but he's rotten inside. Tonight, I say to you, don't be misled, number one, by being deceived. But let me show you something else in the text. Don't you be misled or deceived by the decisions you make. Don't you be misled. Listen tonight, a lot of us get misled not only by the decisions we make. When we make a decision, you got to be careful. You got to pray about it. You got to seek God's face. You got to seek his answer. You got to seek what God would have you to do. You've got to seek that in your life. You say, I just do what I want to do. I don't ever seek God's permission. You're in trouble, mister. You're in trouble, sister. You're in trouble tonight. I want you to know you got to seek God's face on everything you do. If you don't pray, if you ain't got time to pray about it, it ain't worth doing. Amen? Look what he says tonight in verse number 11 of the text. And here's what he said in Joshua chapter 9 in verse number 11. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of the country spake to us, saying, take victuals with you for the journey and go meet them. And say unto them, why are you the servants? Therefore now make ye a league with us. I wrote this down. When you get to that place and you get deceived. See, these folks are coming. They're deceiving Joshua. These Gibeonites, they're deceiving Joshua. And I'm going to show you how they deceived them. But let me show you this. By the decision we make, I wrote this down. A hasty decision, acting quickly. You get in a hurry, you're going to get hurt. You make no decision under pressure. Amen? People will pressure you to try to make a decision. They'll pressure you. They want a decision right now. They can't take no for an answer. They want a decision right now. And here's what Joshua. Joshua's not prayed. Joshua's not asked God. Joshua don't even know anything going on. All he knows is these people are coming and they want him to make a decision. Make no decision under pressure. No time to pray. No peace. Stay put. The same mistake they made in chapter number 7 going into Ai, they're making now in chapter number 9, verse number 14. They've not prayed about this. They've not even consulted God. Joshua had made peace with them, and the princes had swore unto them or made an oath with them. Look with me in verse 15 and verse number 16. And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them. He's not prayed about it. He's not done checked them out. He don't know nothing about them. All he knows is that they've deceived him. He don't even know that yet. And now they want a decision. Folks, tonight, if you ain't got time to pray about it, you don't need it. I'm just telling you. I tell you this right here, me and Brandy, we knew we was needing a car. Man, I'm telling y'all what, I just lay my fleece out before God. Y'all gonna think I'm crazy, and we are crazy. We are crazy for Jesus. Kaylee was needing a car. And I had told Brother Bill Hartley, I said, Brother Bill Hartley, Kaylee's needing a car. When you get ready to sell that car of Angie's, I'd like to be the first one to buy it. Whatever, you just let me know. If it's where we think it should be, we'll do it. You talking about not being deceived and not getting tied up in things. He said he called. He said, we're going to sell that car. We're going to Tuscaloosa Toyota, buy a new one today, but we're not trading it in. I said, what do you want for it? He said, I don't know. I took Brandy, I took Kaylee, myself. We sat down. We took a piece of paper. We wrote a number down on that piece of paper. We stuck it on top of that King James Bible. All three of us laid our hands on top of that Bible, and we got to praying. Every one of us got to pray. And you say, "Preacher, you crazy." That's how I live my life. And we laid our hand on top of that King James Bible, Brother Tony. We got to praying, asking God's favor. If that was the right car and it wasn't the wrong car, we asked everything that God would protect that car. If you want us to have it, it's got to be this exact number. If it's $200 less or a penny less, we will not buy. If it's a penny over, we will not buy. This is the number that we've laid out before you. This is our fleece. This is, we've laid it out before you, and we need a direct answer because we don't have enough sense to know what to do. But we know you do. We know you've got your best interest in mind for us. You said, "Preacher, what'd you do?" We prayed over it. We got done. We closed that Bible. I stuck it in the Bible that I preach out of every Sunday night and Wednesday, and we just left it alone. Brother Bill called me. He said, "Brother BJ, me and Sister Angie, we've thought about it. We thought about the price. We thought about what we're going to do, and here's the price." He called out the price. Kaylee starts squalling. Brandy starts squalling. I start having a shout and fit. Amen. It is exactly to the T. It is exactly to the T what we wrote down, and we stuck in that Bible. Friends, I'm telling you tonight, I can give you time and time and time and time again where God has led us, and we've not let man lead us. Tonight, if you need a decision in your life, and I'm talking to somebody tonight, don't you be misled. You put your fleece out before God. You make sure you pray about it before you move on it. You make sure you've asked God. You make sure you've heard from God before you move. Can I get an amen? You say, "Preacher, how do you know you've heard from God? How do you know God's going to move?" Because I talk to Him every day, and He talks to me. Man, not only, hey, look, they've been deceived, Brother Eric. Man, deception had no clue. They've been deceived. Now they've made a decision, and now they're fixing to be displeased. I wonder how many people I'm talking to, you've made a decision and you're displeased with it. Glory, just sit there. You've made a decision and you wished you would have spoke up. You wished you would have spoke your mind. You knew God told you not to do it. But instead, you went along with it. That's what God does. That's what God does. But guess what? When you make an oath, you can't back out of it. Huh? Lost man can back out of it. Child of God, you can't. You make an oath, you can't back out of it. You say, "Well, I quit paying on it." You can't quit paying on it. "I'll file bankruptcy." You can't file bankruptcy. You're a child of God. You got to live it. You got to pay for it. You got to own up to it. You got to do things the right way. You got to make things right. You can't hide out. You can't hide out under the sand. You got to stand up. You got to do what's right. You've made an oath to that man. You've made an oath to that person. You've made an oath. You've got to stand up. "Preacher, you don't know what I'm going through." Oh, yes, I do. I know what you're going through. I go through it too. When I opened my mouth, when I should have kept it shut. Amen. Let me show you. He said that when they come, they're displeased with the outcome. You know how many days it took them to be displeased with what the outcome? 3 days. Is that not how it is when we buy a new car? When we go over to Tupelo and, man, it smells good. And we're like, "Boy, I ain't never had a car that smells new smell." Boy, get in it. And they say, "Listen, there's no eating in this car. No eating in this car. Do you understand me?" I'm like, "Yeah, I got you. No big deal. I got you." We pull out and get coming home. They forgot. "Y'all want something at McDonald's?" "I ain't saying that because I'm hungry." And all of a sudden, they get them a Big Mac. I'm talking about a juicy one. Order large fries. And that brand new car that you fell in love with and you just had to have it. I'm talking about, son, and that old car salesman, he has deceived you. And you've made a poor decision and now you're displeased. Because when you go to hand the drink back to your kid, you spilled it in the floorboard. Now that new car is not a new car no more. It's just an old wore out car and you ain't even made a payment on it. And you're so mad and you're so upset and you're so... Whew. 3 days. 3 days. If Joshua would have prayed 3 days, he wouldn't have been upset. Folks, I'm telling you, prayer's where it's at. Prayer's where it's at. Me and my wife's got something going on in our life right now. Right now. And the other night when that man gave us some prayer journals, I've been using mine. And what we've been got going on, I wrote it down verbatim. How God, this is how you got to answer. Verbatim, word for word, I wrote it down. God, this is how you're going to answer. And if you don't answer this way, it's a no. And if you answer any other way, it's a no. If it ain't verbatim what's on this paper, we will not do what it's a no. You say, "Are you serious?" Yeah. Yeah. Because if he answers, it works. If I finagle it to make it work, in 3 days I'm gonna be sick with my decision. Let me show you this. I don't want nobody, I want everybody to understand this. Look at me in verse number 16. And it came to pass. When you've been deceived and you've made a decision, it's gonna come to pass. Look what he says in verse 16. And it came to pass at the end of how many? At the end of 3 days. At the end of 3 days, they had made a league with them that they heard that they were their neighbors. They listen to this. It sure doesn't take long to be displeased with the decisions we make. About 3 days. They wore old clothes. They brought old food. They brought old wine. They brought all this old stuff to make it look like they traveled from a far country as an ambassador. They brought all this old stuff, Brother Brad. All this old stuff to make it look like they've come a long ways. And Joshua and them believed them. Yeah. And really, they hadn't come but 25 miles down the road. And all this stuff that they brought was a lie. Everything. Folks, I'm warning you tonight, don't be misled. It may look good on the outside, but before you make a decision, you better give it an opportunity to see what happens. It sure don't take long to be displeased. They were their neighbors 25 miles down the road. Now they got to live with them because they made a vow unto them. Look with me in verse 16 and 17. And it came to pass at the end of 3 days after they had made a league with them that they heard that they were their neighbors and that they dwelt among them. And the children of Israel journeyed and came unto their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon and Cherith and Beeroth and Kirjareim. And the children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. And all the congregation murmured against the princesses. But all the princes said unto the congregation, we have sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel, now therefore we may not touch them. This we will do to them. We will even let them live, lest wrath be upon us because of the oath which we swear unto them. And the princes said unto them, let them live, but let them be hewers of wood and drawers of water unto all the congregation. And the princes had promised them. And Joshua called for them, and he spake unto them, saying, wherefore have you beguiled us, saying, you are very far from you when you dwell among us? Now therefore you are cursed, and there shall none of you be freed from being bondmen, hewers of wood, and drawers of water from the house of my God. And they answered Joshua and said, because it was certainly told thy servants how that the Lord God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore we were so afraid of our lives because of you, and we have done this thing. What did they do? They misled the children of Israel. If they ain't out of one battle, they're into another battle. They can't keep their nose clean. Not only have they been deceived, not only have they made a decision that's going to cost them, but they're displeased with the outcome. Folks, there's decisions that you're going to make in your life tomorrow that you're going to have to live with the rest of your life. You say, no, I won't, preacher. Oh, yes, you will. There's decisions I've made that I'm going to have to live with the rest of my life. And listen to me tonight. I had no clue until I got born again how much my mouth gets me in trouble, Brother Jake, and how I'm supposed to do what God's called me to do. But when I make an oath, I can't back out on it. Child of God, when you make an oath, you can't back out on it. When you make an oath unto God, you can't back out on it. In the world we live in, there's a lot of folks backing out on what they promised God. You let them get in the service and get on fire, and they'll say, Lord, I'll follow you all the days of my life, and you'll never see them again. Lord, I love you. I love you more than anything. Let a little storm happen in their life and act like a bunch of pagans. Don't know how to handle it. Don't know what's going on. Folks, you listen to me tonight. It's your pastor. We want to do what God's called us to do. And we don't want to be misled. And we don't want to make decisions that are hasty just at the drop of a hat. Because what we vow unto God, we owe it. We owe it tonight. I want to read you this out of Ecclesiastes, if you will. Ecclesiastes chapter number 5, verse 4 and 6. I want to read you this. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 4 through 6. And the Bible says, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. You don't believe me on vows? Look at marriages. You don't believe me on vows? Look at marriages. They stand at a church. They vow to be married all the days of their life. 3 to 4 years. 3 days. 3 to 4 years. The new wears off. The happiness wears off. The better wears off. And now it's worse. And the vow they made, no longer do they hold that vow true. A little girl vows to keep her virginity. She loses it in the back of a car, never to get it back again. Once it's lost, it's gone. I tell my daughter that all the time. I've told her that the whole time. Don't you get in the back of a car and sleep with some young man. He vowed to love you. If he loves you, he'll wait on you. Don't you be careful what you vow. You be careful who's vowing that they love you and they care for you and they want their best for you. You be careful. You be careful. You be very careful. Somebody listen to me tonight. We got a bunch of young kids that are growing up in this place. And we want them to know that God loves them. Be careful with the vow that you make. Folks, it's a vow. It's serious. When you make a vow to God, it is serious. When I sat in marriage counseling with all these young couples, and I've sat with many of them, I told them, I said, this is till death do you part. Are you sure you want to hang in there till death do you part? We were sitting over there eating one day at a restaurant, me and David Barnes. And his wife, Dolores. And I got so tickled at David, I about just had a come apart. He was sitting there. And we celebrated a birthday. And then they had, I don't know, 50-year anniversary or something. Well, how many was it? How many anniversary y'all been married? 34. It was this year. And they said, boy, 34, that's good. Clapped him on the back. He said, that ain't very long when you're on a life sentence. I said, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. I know things happens in marriages and they don't stay together. But you listen to me, I'll never quit believing that unity in a marriage goes a long ways. Love in a marriage goes a long ways. Be careful what you vow before God. Be careful what you vow before God. Be careful when you vow your life to Him and say, I'm going to follow you the rest of my days. You don't know what's coming up next. You don't know what's coming down the road. Let me show you this in the book of Ecclesiastes. I want to show you this tonight. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. But which thou hast vowed, better is it that thou should not vow, than thou should vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Whew. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands? Folks, I'm telling you tonight, as your pastor, don't be misled. Stick with it. Man, we got a young generation coming up. They're watching you. They're watching me. They want to know where you're at. They want to know where I'm at. Stick with it, man. Stick with it. Anybody can give up and get out. You stick with it. You stick with it. Don't let nobody mislead you. You stick with it. You stay with it. Let God lead you. Let God have His will and way in your life. We're going to gather up tonight and we're going to pray. But before we do, I want you to know this tonight. Man, we must be very careful in what we vow unto God. I've heard it time and time again. If you'll save my loved one, I'll do this. If you'll do this, I'll do this. Folks, don't do that. If you're not serious about it, don't do that. Don't get tied up in that. Don't get tied up in that burden that you can't do. Folks, tonight, just don't be misled. Whatever you do tonight, you keep your focus on God. You keep your eyes on God. You keep following God. Don't you be misled. So easy in the world we live in. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. People misleading, man. Leading us down the wrong road if you're not careful. One thing I harp on all the time is internet. And I harp on, I do, I can't help it. You know when it come out, it was www, and you put whatever else you want into it. You know what www means? World Wide. You wonder why you're addicted to it. You wonder why you're tied up in it. You wonder why you can't get away from it. You wonder why instead of figuring out a problem, you look up a problem. How to fix a problem. Because it's a web. It's got you webbed in. It's a web. It's got you. Why what they want to do with us. Kids have no imagination no more. When we was kids, we'd build a fort out in the woods with two or three nails. And it never failed. I couldn't believe it. It wouldn't fall. We'd climb up in it. Kids don't do forts no more. They don't even know what a fort is. You tell them go build a fort, they wouldn't have a clue what a fort is. Why? Satan's deceived us. And when he could not do it as a roaring lion, and he couldn't do it as a snake, so subtle. We're a little smarter than that, I think. You know, we're a little smarter than that. And he couldn't do it as an angel of light. And you've done figured him out on that. That little thing you got in your hand. He said, I got you. You can say mop bucket. And everything on your phone will be mop bucket. How they know that? Huh? You have 10,000 mop buckets on that thing. Why? He's the prince of the air. Don't be misled. Pay attention. Watch what you're doing. I know you're adults. I know you are. Do what you want to do. I'm just telling you, don't be misled. I'm telling you, pay attention. I'm telling you, watch out. You say, everything's good in my house. Don't you fool yourself. Don't you kid yourself. You laying in there sleeping good, living it up, snoozing. Your kid in there 1, 2 o'clock in the morning on their phone, trying to figure out how to kill herself. Oh, yeah. Deal with that every day. Phone calls come to my phone every day. People in their 30s want to kill themselves, nothing to live for. Got a good job, making more money than you ever thought about making. Got a kid, got a family, got everything you could want, and they want to die. That ain't of God. Where's that coming from? Satan, being misled. He's deceiving you. And they'll mess around. They'll make a decision that they'll be displeased with one day. I beg you tonight, as your pastor, at this church, don't ever get misled. Stay true to that word. Stay true to what God's called you to do. Stay focused in. Stay in that word. Stay in it. Stay locked in. Let God lead you. I promise you this tonight. He'll never lead you in the wrong direction. I'll give you this. Yesterday, I was going up this road. I was ready to go eat. And I got all the way up this road, and there's a truck in the ditch. And that man had been spinning trying to get out. He's going to McDaniel's Auto in the morning. Doing work on his vehicle. He'd been spinning. There's mud everywhere. And I said, you got a chain? He said, I ain't got a chain. I said, you ain't got a chain? He said, I ain't got a chain. He said, I got a tie strap. It broke right off the bat. I'm telling you this. I said, I'll go get a chain. I went to a man's house. I knew he wasn't at home. And I went to another man's house. And I'm acquainted with him, but I don't know him. But I'm acquainted. But I got his number in my phone. Does that make any sense? Not everybody on your phone, you know, but you just got to have been there. I mean, I talked to him one time, you think they're your friend. So I picked up the phone and I called him. He didn't answer, so I called him again. He said, hey, what's going on? I said, man, I need a chain. Do you got a chain? He said, Brother BJ, anything I got, you can have. He said, there's a backhoe sitting there with the keys in it. There's a tractor sitting there with the keys in it. Get anything you want. Don't even just go in there. Told me all kind of nothing. I said, man, I just need a chain. I just need a chain. He said, brother, anything I got is yours. I got in the truck. Brandy's sitting in there. I had her look the number up. And we got coming back, Brother Austin. And before we ever got to that man's truck, I told Brandy this. I said, I don't want to lose that integrity. I don't want to lose that name that God's gave me, that somebody will trust you. Listen to me. I told that man I'm going to get a chain. He didn't know if I was coming back or not. When I come back, I gave him a little Jesus. Told him about Jesus. I said, where do you work? I took time to talk to him. I said, where do you work? He told me where he worked. I said, you know Jake Flippo? Yeah, I know Jake Flippo. I said, you know Jake? Yeah. I said, you know Kevin McDaniel? Yeah, I know Kevin. Trying to put things together. Trying to make it. Does anybody understand? I didn't want to deceive this man. I'm iron sharpened as iron, trying to give him a little bit. Trying to win him to Jesus. I don't know where he's at with the Lord. I don't know, but that was my job when I'm there. Got off and I called Jake. Jake didn't answer. He texted me back, something wrong? Because I don't ever call Jake. And I said, yeah, Jake. I said, it's Brother BJ. I just want you to know in the morning, Monday morning when you go to work, here's this man's name. I've witnessed to him and shared the gospel with him. He said, well, he was just in a ditch. He didn't want to hear the gospel. Well, he shouldn't have flagged me down standing in the middle of the road. Was he not in the middle of the road? Son, he had both arms up. He done been there a long time. He said, that ain't got nothing to do with your sermon. Yes, it does. I didn't want to mislead that man. I didn't stop to get him out of the ditch physically. God put me there to get him out of the ditch spiritually. That's all I seen. And I don't want him to be deceived. I don't want him to be misled. So I told Jake, I said, Monday when you go and work, and I told him the man's name, I said, listen to me. I've shared the gospel with him. You water it. If I got seed in my pocket and I throw it over here, how are you going to know where to put water if you don't know where I put it? That's Bible. If I put seed over there and I tell Jake where that seed is, hey, when he comes over there, hit him up a little bit about Jesus. Does that work, preacher? It'll keep that man from being misled. It'll let him know we're all on the same page. Let's gather around this place tonight.